I want to call your attention this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're continuing in a message that we started last Sunday morning on Follow Me. Follow Me, understanding what Christ means by discipleship. And we are challenging today some of the ideas and themes that are being promoted all across America about what discipleship is. For most people, discipleship is a deal that I've made with God. I've told God that I'll give Him Sunday morning. I'll sometimes give Him Sunday night. Occasionally, I'll give Him a Wednesday night. And I'll come to a few of the church functions here and there. But that's as far as I go when it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that folks, is not what discipleship is. The Bible makes very clear that discipleship is following none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about last week about the three different words that are used in the book of Matthew for follow me. We saw, first of all, was the word doute. When the Lord Jesus Christ was calling the initial four disciples, He said, come, follow me. It's a command. It's in the imperative in the Greek language. It's a command. You follow me. I'm the master. You're the servant. You follow me. That's the concept that the Lord Jesus Christ instilled in His disciples. Then in Matthew chapter 8, we read about the man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. But he didn't use the word that Jesus Christ used. He used another Greek word, which has the idea and the concept of, I will move towards you. I want to learn a little bit more about you. But I'm not going to go all the way to obey a command to come. And we compared it this way, it's like auditing a college course. The nice thing about auditing a course is you can listen, but you don't have to take the tests, right? And I said last week, wouldn't that have been nice? Get a college degree without having to take any tests? Just audit all the courses, that would have been nice. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, having to go home and study because you're just auditing the course. You're just listening to whatever the teacher has to say. And a lot of people, understand this please, a lot of people approach following Christ the same way. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the following verses there in Matthew chapter 8 says, no, that won't work. That won't work. Another man comes up and said, you know, Lord, I want to follow You, but I have to go take care of my father. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, follow Me, let the dead bury the dead. And He uses a third Greek word. And the idea, it means to set all aside and follow after Me. I will take care of everything. That's the idea and the thought. We need to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ says when He says, follow Me. It's not on our terms. Discipleship is not about the disciple. It's about the one whom the disciple follows. That's the heart. That's the message. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24, we read, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. So discipleship is not talking about being a disciple. It's talking about the one in whom we are to follow. Thus, follow Me. This is the emphasis. This is repeated over and over again in the book of Matthew. Now, we're moving today toward the New Testament understanding of discipleship because the word disciple is nowhere else used other than in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. After that, the word disciple does not appear in the New Testament. But the theme, the understanding, the truth does. It continues on, and we want to look at that this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We want to read the first couple of verses here as we understand what discipleship is all about. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of Me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that You would bless Your word this morning. Lord, we seek to want to have Your understanding concerning discipleship. Not what the religious people are saying today, not what most of the churches are saying today of what discipleship is. These little pacts that we make with God about certain things that we're going to do. But Father, it's an understanding of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Master and we as followers. Help us, Father, to gain the understanding of your Word this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to share with you the definition that we gave last week for disciple. A disciple, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, is a person who not only accepts the views of the teacher, but also is an adherent in practice. Now, let me say that again. It means a person who not only accepts the views of the teacher, but also is an adherent in practice. In other words, they follow the teachings. They don't just nod their head and say, yeah, I agree with that. They put it into practice what the teacher is saying. If you're not moving from the hearing to the practice, you're not a disciple. And that's what we're going to get into today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, if you are not moving from the hearing stage to the doing stage, don't call yourself a disciple because you're not following. You're not following. To follow means to take steps behind the individual. And today, we have a lot of head knowledge, but very little of the practicing of that truth in our hearts and minds. It can be proven. I shared last week about how many people are following dreams today. Oh, I have this dream, and I'm just going to follow this dream. Lord, help you. Your dream is going to cast you up on the rocks. Can you imagine a ship captain saying, I'm just going to go how I feel today. I'm feeling really good. I slept in a Holiday Inn resort last night, and I'm really feeling good. I'm just going to take the ship wherever it wants to go. Yeah, you'll take it right up on the rocks. That's what you'll do. You have to have guidance. Can you imagine an airline pilot? Hey, let's just let it fly today. Let's just let it fly. We'll take off, and wherever it takes us, that's where we're going to go. They're going to go right into the ground. You see, it doesn't work in practicality in the area of normal living. How do we think it's going to work in the spiritual realm? If it won't work in the natural realm, how do we think it's going to work in the spiritual realm? It's not going to work. And you're going to wreck and ruin because you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know it up here. It's not enough to know it up here. It has to be put into practice in everyday Christian living. Every day, follow Him. Follow Him. People follow dreams. People follow ideas. People follow false teachers. People follow preachers or pastors who have charismatic personalities but are not adherents to the Word of God. People follow family. They follow children. People follow the money. People follow noble causes. I put down a ninth one that just came to my mind this week in talking with someone. People follow habits. People follow habits. It dictates to them what they do in life, how they live. The decisions that they make are all based upon their habits. But that's not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2, we have a classic passage on the New Testament understanding of discipleship. Look at verse 2, please. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, from this verse of Scripture here, I'm going to pull several things, and we may not get through all of this today. We're just going to take our time because I want this to move from words to understanding. Number one, I want you to see the emphasis that the Apostle Paul here puts on hearing. Notice this, please. And the things which thou hast, say that word, please, heard. Timothy, in his youthful ministry, was to have made a practice of hearing what the Apostle Paul said. And this is not just any old garden variety word for hear here. This is a special word, two Greek words put together, para akouo.
para, meaning toward or beside. And then we have akouo, which means to listen. It means to come alongside someone and to gain eye contact and listen to what they have to say. It's not yelling across a baseball field. It's not in the essence of speaking like we are here at this point. It means this personal contact that Paul had with Timothy. Timothy, you've heard the things that I've been teaching you. All these years, you've heard the things that I've been teaching you. Now, are you putting those things into practice? Have you really heard? That's the idea. Have you really heard? Oh, what a picture we have here. Notice the emphasis he puts. That thou hast heard. Emphasis here upon the individual. God is not interested in group service. He wants individual service from His children. Oh, I'll help if I can help with a group. That's not going to cut it. Are you willing to stand in your workplace and be a witness for Christ and follow Him? Where you're not in the middle of a group that's supporting you? You know, it's amazing today how some preachers will take a stand only when a group takes a stand with them. We stand together. Well, that's not how it works. Can you imagine if Paul had said that? Remember the end of his ministry? He says, I alone am here. Only Luke is with me. Wow. People say, oh, what a terrible thing. Paul apostatized. Look at all the people that he could have influenced, and now he stands all by himself. No, that wasn't the truth. The fact was that the people had moved away from him. They disassociated themselves with him. He's going to die. We don't want any part of that. But this discipleship thing, that's kind of crossing the line, isn't it? You ought not to have to die to follow Jesus, and yet countless have. I was talking to Mrs. Hobbs this week about how precious this Bible is and how careless we are with it. We leave it laying around. We leave it out, and our cars will sit up in the windshield, and then the sun will bake them, and they'll curl up like this, and then we'll pull it out and flatten it out for church. Bring it in there. People died that we might have a copy. People, they didn't just die like they, you know, put a needle in their arm and then they passed on like they do to criminals today, because we're so scared to death of cruel and unusual punishment. They died being burned to a stake. Many of them were choked to death and then their bodies burned. Some of them were hated so that after they died and were buried in a normal burial, they went back and they pulled their bones up and burned them. All because they had translated the Bible into English that we might have it. Do you understand the cost that was involved with this precious book, and yet we don't read it? We don't take time to study it. We're careless with it. This which was blood spilt that we might have. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what we're talking about, discipleship. We're not talking about a fun and games, make up your own rules type of discipleship. We're talking about the reality of what Jesus Christ is saying by doute, follow me. Drop everything. You follow me and I'll take care of you. That takes faith. That takes faith. And hearing is involved. It's personal. It's personal. Hearing God's Word. And it is purposeful. Taking the Word and saying, all right, Paul has preached this. I'm going to remember this. I'm going to keep this close to me. I'm going to remember this. Hearing is involved in discipleship, number one. So important that we see that. Number two, I want you to see that submitting is involved. Submitting, notice please. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now get the thou and the me here. Thou being Timothy, me being Paul. Timothy, I want you to take what I, Paul, have given to you. I want you to have not only heard it, but I want you to take that and I want you to commit it to others. Now that involves submission. Submission to what he had learned, but also submission to whom he had learned it. This is one of the problems today in the church. The refusal of people to submit to this book. To submit to this book. And to let it show us what we're supposed to do. Oh, no, 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 no. Understand me now. I know what I want to do. I've got it all figured out. I've got it all laid out. I've got a 5-year plan. Some people got a 10-year plan. And they're going to work it all out. I've got it down. Lord, now you bless this plan that I have. Would you do that, Lord? Would you just please put your stamp of approval on here? Take out your seal of heaven and put that on there. And that's what I'm going to do. I would imagine if I had a show of hands this morning about those in time past, when you had that mentality, how many times the 5-year plan got busted up? Can I hear an amen on that? Oh my goodness. We have our plans. We have our ideas. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes the Lord has other plans in store. He has other plans in store. There was a young man that I went to school with at Bob Jones. He had gone to Bob Jones and was studying. He went home during the Thanksgiving break, was helping his father work on a piece, or a grandfather, work on a piece of equipment. They were out in the fields in Michigan. The piece of equipment got stuck. He reached in there just to quickly pull out whatever was keeping this particular mechanism from working. It snatched him, pulled his hand in, and split it between fingers all the way up to the wrist. He didn't come back to school. He came back in May at graduation time because he wanted to see his friends, and his hand was still, it was the size of a football, almost 5 months later. Enormous. And I remember him coming back to our prayer group because he was in our, and said, you know what? He said, I had no idea what the Lord would have in store for me because this accident has changed my thinking. He said, I was all in for making money. I was studying in the business school. I was all in for making the money. And then the Lord began to work in my heart after I lost the use of my hand. He said, the doctor told me over and over again, you're probably going to lose this hand. You're probably going to lose this hand. And he said, he began to pray. He said, I hadn't prayed before. I hadn't prayed. I was just in school. And he said, I started praying. Why? Because it concerned whether I was going to keep this hand or not. And then he said, as I prayed, the Lord began to deal with my heart. And he began to change me and to work in my heart. And he said, now I have a whole different purpose and understanding about things. I don't know what happened after that point, but I remember him giving that testimony in prayer group of how the Lord had used that instance. Changed all of his plans. He was planning on graduating. Didn't happen. Couldn't do his work. He was in the hospital for a month. And then they released him, and then he had to go through rehab. He said the torture of trying to bend those fingers when his hand was so swollen, but they were trying to keep it so that the blood would circulate and he would be able to keep that hand and be able to use it. Sometimes God will change your plans. Follow Him. You have to follow Him. Timothy had a responsibility not only to hear what Paul had said, but to submit himself. And this is where we get into trouble. We don't like to submit to God's Word. We like to do the telling rather than being the one being told. And this is the key to discipleship. I want you to see, thirdly, the ministry of committing and transmitting involved in being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, please. Paul says to him, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." The key here is the word commit. Commit. This word is also two Greek words put together. Paratithemi. Para meaning beside. Tithemi meaning to entrust or to deposit. So we get the idea to commit for safekeeping. Now do you understand, please, that discipleship is not only a following of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also taking what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us in the form of His precious revealed Word, and passing it down to others, committing it to others for safekeeping. Why? Because we're not going to be here very long. Right? Well, you don't know how long I'm going to be here. Oh, really? You know? You know something that only God knows? Wow. We don't know. Therefore, we have a responsibility. We're going to get to the latter part of that phrase there because we don't commit it to just anybody. Right? We don't commit it to just anybody. It has to be faithful men, faithful folks. But we have a responsibility not only to take, but also to give. That's what Christian ministry is all about. Taking what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us, not keeping it, not trying to bury the talent down in the ground, but rather taking that truth, that revealed truth, and passing it down to others. Passing it down to others. Why? That it might be multiplied and used of God. This is discipleship. This is the truth that we have. To commit for safekeeping, to entrust, to deposit. This suggests transmitting the deposit of a sacred trust from one faithful person to another. Paul is saying to Timothy, you are my disciple. Now you transmit the truth to others who are worthy of the name disciple. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. When we invest in the lives of other faithful people, we transmit not only what we know, but what we are. Notice what Paul says here. He says, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Let's take a moment, please, to look at another passage of Scripture. Look over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy here, just right across the page if you have a Scofield Bible. Notice verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. Skip down to verse 14 where we see this connected here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now understand, what were the things that Timothy had learned? Timothy had learned doctrine. He had watched Paul's life, his manner of life. He saw the purpose of Paul's life. He saw the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience, the persecutions, and the afflictions. Paul says, in this bundle, this is my gift to you, Timothy. Wow. Think about that for just a moment. Some people would say, well, you know, I'd rather get something else, thank you. Do you have anything else to offer? You know, I love these places like Dollar Tree. You know, some people think heaven is going to be a 75% off sale at Dollar Tree. I mean, you think that the world would come to an end. Oh, no! 75% off at Dollar Tree! Now, we've gotten some of the Dollar Tree toys. They last about a day. But it's a fun place to go to. The kids like to go there and to look around and so forth like that. But you walk into that store and you see all the items that are there. And it takes my kids forever. If I say, all right, we're gonna pick up one item today. Everything's a dollar at Dollar Tree. Actually, that's not true. They'll put $1, $2, $3, or whatever. And maybe we'll go in and say, all right, you can get one little toy today. Now, you got this wall full of dollar toys. And they can't make up their mind. And so I said, all right, in 30 seconds, Dad's going to pick your thing. It's amazing. They don't want Dad to pick it. They don't want Dad to pick it. They're going to end up with a set of handcuffs. Plastic handcuffs. We'll lock them up. Take them home. Yeah. We want to pick and choose. Right? I want Dad to pick it for me. He'll get a loser one. I don't want that. I want to pick it. Well, you better hurry up. But when it comes down to the truth of God's Word here and what's going to be committed, you can't pick and choose. Paul says you've got to take the whole package, Timothy. I have shared with you, and I have made it fully known, my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions. This was the discipleship aspect. Oh, persecution is going to be involved in that? Affliction? I don't know if I want to do this discipleship. And that's what the church has said today. We don't want afflictions. Oh, that means God's not blessing you if you have afflictions. God's not blessing you if you're having persecutions. Is that so? That's what the churchianity says today. Churchianity says that you can only have the wonderful blessings if you're going to be God's child, but that's not the case at all. You study the lives of the men in the Bible and the difficulty and the struggle and the affliction and the persecutions that they went. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Have it easy all the time? all? Have their wealth multiplied? No, shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. People who honor the Lord and follow Him will suffer persecution. That's God's promise to all His children. Timothy was charged to commit, to take that which Paul had given to him, this package of truth that he had made known unto Timothy. Take that, Timothy, but don't keep it for yourself. I want you to take that and I want you to do like I've done with you. I want you to pass it down. I want you to commit it to others. You know, whenever you commit something to someone, you're wanting them to take it and to appreciate it like you've appreciated it. Have you ever received an heirloom, a family heirloom? Something that's really special? Maybe it was a family Bible. I received my grandmother's Bible, one of her Bibles. And inside that Bible were some precious tokens from her life. It's a special thing. It's not going to be something that I keep out. It's going to be something that I keep in a special place. And maybe one of these days I'll pass it down to one of my children as a special thing. And I want them to receive that committal and appreciate it like I've appreciated it. You don't want to pass something down to someone who doesn't appreciate. And that's why the Bible goes a step further and says, faithful men. You know why? Because not everybody is faithful. Not everybody deserves to be committed with something. Right? We've already learned that there are people that say, Lord, I want to follow you whithersoever thou goest. But it's not the same word. They're not using the same word Jesus is using. They're using the word, I want to audit the course. They're not faithful. They're not faithful, so they cannot be trusted with for these things. You mean that we have to be that selective? Yes. That's what the Bible says. What the Bible says here, commit thou to faithful men, transmitting the truth to faithful men. Now, notice that Paul not only passes down the revealed body of truth, but he sends down his experiences as well. I think this is interesting. His experiences, his persecution, his afflictions, the things that he had endured in the work of the Lord, he passed that down to Timothy too. Oh, it's so valuable, so valuable. This is the burden of a pastor right here. It's to pass these things down to faithful people who will then in turn pass them down to other faithful people. That's how God's Word is committed from generation to generation. I want you to see fourthly here, observing and selecting. Observing and selecting. This is another part of discipleship. Observing and selecting. Commit thou to faithful men. Now, here we have the Gideon structure, I'm going to call it. The Gideon structure. You remember the story from the book of Judges? How that the Lord said, all right, I want you to gather your men to go to work. And so Gideon sent out the word. And all these numbers came, and the Lord said, it's too many people. We've got too big of a crowd. I want you to send all those that have marriage commitments, you send them on home. And so the crowd dwindled down to about 10,000. And he said, all right, Lord. He said, we've got too many. We've got too many. And the Lord whittled it down to 300. I would imagine that Gideon was going through the process of, Lord, do you know what you're doing? You know how those Midianites are nasty. They are nasty people. They're not nice. They're going to kill us. They've got 100,000 people out there. We got 300. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. Following the Lord wherever He leads. Lord said, I want you to send all these people home. I've got 300 in mind that I'm going to use, and we're going to take care of the enemies. We're going to take care of the enemies. You see what he was teaching Gideon? It's not about you, and it's not about 300. It's about trusting me. It's about trusting me. And here's where the calling down process takes place. This is where you have to call. You know what a call is? A call is where you go through and you have to select the best. You select the best. Not every cow goes to the meat market. Some of them aren't worthy to be eaten. Some of them have to be put out to pasture. Others that are prime beef, they fed on special grains and they're going to be tasty. Those are the ones they want to send up to market. You wouldn't want to go down to the meat market and say, yeah, we killed a little old spindly thing this morning. You know, he's a little bony. And there won't be a lot of meat on the ribs. And, you know, that ground chuck, part of it's going to be a little on the grainy side. This one didn't do too well out there in the pasture. You wouldn't want to know that. Some of us find out, though, you go to some of the meat markets around here, you wonder what kind of condition the cow came in, whether they had to help it from the pasture out to the, as old as the hills and tougher than a barn owl. I want to tell you, observing and selecting, not every one of them gets picked. And that disturbs some people. Gets their feathers ruffled up. Oh, you mean that there's a process here? You mean that there's a select few that are entrusted with the Word? Yes, and amen. You wouldn't want someone that had some special prize heirloom to take something and not appreciate it, right? The Bible warns against casting your pearls before swine. That's tough language, is it not? But not everybody is worthy. Not everybody is faithful. And so there has to be an observing and a selecting that takes place here. God allows His faithful men to choose other faithful men to be disciples. Discipling stands or falls with these two words, faithful men. That's it. How do you know whether it's going to be used in the future? How do you know if it's going to be passed down? The key words, faithful men. Faithful men. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Everybody can come up with a reason. Commit it to me. I'll take it. Oh, wait a minute. Are you in the faithful man category? Are you a faithful servant? Trustworthy, reliable, dependable, responsible. These are all key words related to this word faithful here. What are their qualifications? Well, I want to share with you a few. I've got six of them, and I don't know how far we'll get. We'll see how far. Six qualifications. Number one, from the Scriptures, a faithful person is one whose objective in life is the same objective God sets forth in His Word. Number one, a faithful person is a person whose objective in life is the same objective God sets forth in His Word. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you have God's agenda. You put your own personal agenda aside. All right, Lord, You show me. You show me. We are idea people. We can come up with ideas as long as the daylight stands. We got all kinds of ideas that we can throw out. But you know what? What counts? What counts? It's letting the Lord show us from His precious Word. That's the first. Secondly, they are willing to pay any price to have the will of God fulfilled in his or her life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in our same passage here, verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now this is God speaking through His Word. The second thing is, you're willing to pay any price to have God's will fulfilled in your life. Whatever God says. I remember reading recently in a missionary biography, and I forget the name of the individual, but it was a young man who was training in a mission school up in Ohio. And this young man was very bright man, and very intelligent. And he went to his teacher in college. He said, I'm leaving school. I want to go and serve God as a missionary to Africa. And the teacher pulled him aside and said, listen. Said, what you're suggesting is absolutely crazy. You are a brilliant young man. You have such potential before you. If you go to Africa, you're going to die within a year. This was in the 1800s. You're going to die within the year. There are so many diseases. There are so many problems over there. You're going to catch something and you're going to die. Don't go. That was the counsel of his teacher. The young man went and he died within a year. But he told his teacher before he left. He made a point to go by and visit the teacher. He said, I want you to know something. If and when I die, I want you to remember this testimony concerning me, that it's not about brains, it's not about intellect, it's about following the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He sends you. That teacher was saved after that young man's testimony came back that he died. It was such a blow to him, and he realized how important it was to trust in Jesus Christ. He couldn't understand it before, but he understood it after, and he became a missionary. What a testimony! God used a college student submitted to God's will whose life testimony would only be a year on a mission field. He died that this man might trust Christ and that he might go as a missionary. You say, well, how did God do that? Why did He do that? We don't know why God does certain things, but one thing we do know, we need to follow Him. We need to follow Him. What a testimony. And all those who were saved as a result of that teacher going as a missionary were to the credit of that young man that had a testimony to go wherever the Lord wanted him to go, whether it meant death or whether it meant life. He was going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need to be willing to pay any price to have the will of God fulfilled in our hearts and lives. Number three, a true disciple has an intense love for Christ and His Word. A true disciple has an intense love for Christ and His Word. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Don't turn there, just listen. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you have that kind of love for God's Word? When you take in God's Word, it's the joy and refreshment and rejoicing of your life. Is it truly now? We're talking about moving now from the ideal stage of hearing about being a follower of Christ and the reality of actually applying it. What does it mean? It means I love His Word. He's the master. I'm the disciple. And I love to hear His Word. What's the testimony of your heart this morning? Matthew 20, in verse 26 through 28. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That kind of commitment brings us to the fourth thing. You have to have a servant's heart. And we're going to close with this. A disciple has a servant's heart. You know, the British Royal Military Academy has a motto. Three words. Serve to lead. Serve to lead. And that is the testimony. Not just talking about being a servant. A lot of people talking about it. But I'm talking about being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not it being an ideal, but it being a reality. Follow me. Follow me. That's the lesson. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a powerful message You give to us in Your Word concerning discipleship. Lord, we know we live in a day and age where discipleship is defined by each individual person. So sad, for it's not discipleship at all. It's us telling God what we're going to do. And that won't work. That won't matter for eternity. Lord, help us, Father, to be completely and totally surrendered to Thee, to follow Thy will wherever it takes us. Lord, help us not to come up with our own ideas and ask You to bless them, but Father, may Your Holy Spirit teach us and show us, and may we hear, and may we submit, and may we take what we learn and commit it and transmit it to faithful individuals. Oh, Lord, what a ministry You've given to disciples. And Lord, help us to follow Thy word in this regard. Father, our hearts are burdened for our children. Our hearts are burdened for our teenagers that may not know Christ as their Savior. There may be adults here without Christ. We ask that Thy Holy Spirit would work in their heart. And Lord, we pray that You would call souls unto Yourself. We ask, Father, that you would use your word to accomplish much in our hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.